Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. Brought to you by Lineup Media Group. Now, your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball Youth, the nation's youth baseball network. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I'm coming to you from the Lineup Media Group studios. And special thanks to my producer, Brian. We had quite a storm here last night and had to do a lot of work to get up and running today and allow us to have the time for our guest, who I'm very excited about. But before we get to Travis, let me tell you a little bit about ourselves, especially if you're new to the show and want to research us a little bit. Best way to learn about who we are and what we do and kind of what we stand for almost is just to go to youthbaseballtalk.com. You can learn a little bit about us. You can check out some of the great videos we have from some of the active participants in the show. And, of course, you can hear past episodes and kind of see if there's anything in there that kind of applies to any questions you might have. We're very active within social media. Twitter is such a great way to connect with people. At Podcast Baseball is our handle, and it's a great way to follow us and keep up with what's going on. And, of course, if you follow us, I'm going to follow you back because I like to see what's going on out there. Facebook is always a great way to communicate, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. Do a lot through there. There's a lot of great stuff on there, especially from some of the instructors or some of the players and things like that that we've had on the show. I like to keep up with what they've got going on and share some of the great stuff that's going on out there. And, of course, I love the emails. A lot of times we'll have a guest on or I'll talk about something and you may agree, you may disagree, or it just may be a topic of conversation. Or you just may say, you know what, I'd love to learn more about this. Best way to communicate with me is jim@youthbaseballtalk.com. Again, I love the interaction, whether you agree or disagree. And, of course, the best way to support the show and stay up with what we're doing is just to subscribe. And the simple way to do that is you either go to iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet, kind of depends on what device you have. Click on the subscribe button and just and you'll be getting the shows as we release them, and then you can just download them and listen to them at your leisure. Of course, we love reviews, especially 5-star if you feel we're worthy, and they just help us keep the show relevant and up with the time. So really do appreciate that. Of course, sharing all the information and turning people on to what we're doing, if you believe in how we're doing it, is the best way to help us grow the show, and we do appreciate it. There's a lot of you guys out there doing that, and we appreciate it. And of course, if you just want to support the show in your own way, you want to give us a little bit of love, the next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, especially, you know, for all of our baseball people, whether it be bats, gloves, anything, and or just everyday items. I know a lot of you use Amazon. Before you do anything with Amazon, just go to our website, youthbaseballtalk.com. Click the Amazon banner. It's down to the right, and it won't cost you anything, but we'll get a credit and a referral, and it definitely helps us keep the show on the air. So that's a little bit about us and a shameless plug for Amazon, and we do appreciate them and their support and allowing us to be part of their program and keep the show on the air. So I want to get to today's guest and talk a little bit about the upcoming shows. I know we had a lot of interest in the last shows, and they've kind of been rerunning for the past couple weeks. Everybody's very excited, and as am I, to welcome Domingo Ayala and his Theory of Baseball to our show every week. Really looking forward to what he has to say today and the message he has for all of our young semi-pro players that want to be pro players, and we do appreciate him. He brings such a light way of looking at the game of baseball and the fun that needs to be involved in it back to it. And I know a lot of the younger people that listen to the show are very excited about it, and I look forward to you guys being able to hear that after we hear from our guest today. So let's talk a little bit about our guest today. I met this guy through a gentleman that you hear every week on our show, and that's Justin Stone with Elite Baseball out of Chicago and his wonderful product, EliteBaseball.tv. I've heard so many wonderful things from all of you out there that have decided to become a part of EliteBaseball.tv. The instruction that they provide, and they allow just basically whether you're a extremely overqualified coach for kids or you're a novice or just love the game and want to try to help your own son, you guys have all had glowing things to say about their videos and how easy they are to follow and how easy they are to implement in your own, whether it be, again, working independently with your own son or working with a team. If you've been on there or if you have not, he has a wonderful head instructor named Travis Kerber. And Travis, to me, and I've been around him a lot, has been a big help for my own kids, especially on the pitching side. But his knowledge of the game of baseball is fantastic, and I'm assuming that's why his title is head instructor and not just pitching coordinator. But For what we want to do today, I want to talk a little bit about the pitching. And the reason is I put a rant out on Monday over some things I've been seeing. And Travis and I have been trying to connect when the right time to get him on here is, because he does a video about sequential pitching. And, you know, he'll tell you that he has a documented average of a 6 mile per hour velocity increase if you learn these sequential mechanics, and it's the right way to do it, not the wrong way. So we're going to talk about that today in the second part of our interview with Travis. But the first thing is, he called me and said, we got to do this interview now because I heard your rant and these things have been on my mind and I want to talk about them. So without putting it off any longer, I want to welcome my man Travis Kerber to the show. Travis, how you doing?
Doing good, Jim. Thanks for having me. Definitely a stressful day, you know, having to think about the things that not only I heard you talk about in your rant, but obviously, you know, it going on across the country.
Well, I'll tell you, I know there's going to be a ton of people that are already listening to the show that are familiar with you, and reason being is you've done clinics, you've done shows, and I tell you, when I saw you speak at the first convention that I went to, it was impressive. And again, not that, you know, not don't judge a book by its cover, but when I realized your background and how you were using your background into your everyday training, I just realized that, you know, it's kind of like that moment where, you know, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. You know, it's moved on way past hopping up on a mound for 30 minutes and taking your pitching lesson. And no disrespect to the guys out there that are trying to help, but I mean, we've moved way, way past that. So I want you to let the people know a little bit about yourself, kind of how you got involved in baseball and how it's led you to where you are now.
So I started out in my teaching aspect with the Chicago White Sox training facilities, working with them for 10 years and running their facilities for a little over 4 of those years. That's obviously where I got a chance to team up with Justin, him being with the White Sox as well. And then moved on, obviously, with him to Elite. And then, you know, since then, I've had the opportunity to continue to grow, have the opportunity to luckily have my voice heard a little bit more, being able to go and do some of these speaking engagements. And I think, you know, honestly, from where I started is probably similar to where a lot of other people started, is that, you know, I viewed baseball as in what people had taught me when I was growing up. And then I had somebody open my eyes to a couple of things that I thought were things that happened with a throwing athlete, and they really weren't. And, you know, since that day, which was now probably about 13 years ago, I've been on a quest to try to learn more, knowing that I'm never going to know everything, but knowing that there's more information out there that is to be sought. And there are smart people out there now that are spending more time being able to do research into not only how the body works, but nutrition, strength training, everything else that goes into it. You know, the amount of time that, you know, amount of pitches guys should be throwing, the amount of time in between, stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, I've been able to develop with it, you know, and went through 2D analysis, which is basically what most parents, I assume, do now, recording on a phone and kind of going back and looking at it. And then through Justin and his kinesiology background, getting into 3D analysis and stuff like that, where you start to say, listen, there's more out there. Instead of me just guessing as to what's happening, let's really find out what's going on, so we're not just saying, hey, I think this is what I see, or I think this is what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, it was interesting. I posted something on Facebook the other day a while back, and I know you guys are fans of Bob Tewksbury, and for those listening that aren't familiar with his work, he's a former player that didn't make it to the big leagues that became a hitting instructor. And his story is that after he was done playing, he tried to figure out why he never made it. And he realized that everything he had been taught was kind of not, you know, he wasn't disrespectful. I wasn't taught incorrectly, but I did, you know, everything I thought was correct is incorrect. And he learned it on his own. And he did a special the other night on MLB TV, Sean Casey and the host, had him on. He was on there for about 5 or 6 minutes, and they talked about his obvious big client is Josh Donaldson, and everybody knows you know, how he's risen to fame in the last few years since he's been working with Mr. Tewksbury. And Josh Donaldson has not been secretive about it. He said, this guy has basically helped me become the hitter I am. So they did a great little interview with him, and he talked about it. And I thought the message from him is kind of the same from you. it's, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's not disrespectful, but the things that people have been taught a long time ago, we need to look at that stuff and say, you know what, it's time to really look at what's going on. And I think that's kind of the message, and it's not a disrespectful message. It's more of a, we got to stop just doing stuff because this is the way we've always done it. Would you say that's an accurate statement?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's a completely accurate statement. You know, I think, you know, I got a chance to listen to Bobby the other day too. You know, he does a great job expressing that to people. And I think it's important for people to understand that there is a lot of information out there that we need to go out and seek. And I think, you know, we've been taught stuff at a young age, even as we progress and move up. And I think, you know, coaches aren't trying to necessarily hurt their players with misinformation. They're trying to help the kids get better. They just might be a little bit misinformed themselves. And again, I don't blame them for that. But I think, you know, now it being 2016 and us having so much access to information through the web, through social media, through hopefully better coaching as well, that I think, you know, it should start to change. But it's also the players and the parents' due diligence to go out and find that information for themselves instead of just, you know, randomly just going and doing something and then saying, well, this is what we think we're supposed to do. It's like going out and buying a car. People aren't going to just walk onto a lot and be like, well, that one looks pretty, let's get it. You know, you're going to find the one that's safe for your family or has good gas mileage or that's reliable. You know, you do your research when you're doing anything else in life, you know, and when it comes to your kids, I feel like you should do the same.
Well, let's first, I know you wanted to touch on a couple of things that I had discussed on Monday. So I want to get to the sequential pitching mechanics and the benefits and how you can go about doing it. But first, let's talk a little bit about some of that stuff, because I think it does involve parents and their involvement. You know, I think sometimes we definitely want to be respectful of coaches, for sure. And I've said it time and time again. I mean, I there's a lot of guys out there volunteering their time. But there's some things going on in the pitching world, and I had to talk about it Monday, and I don't know where for sure you would stand on the proper way to handle this. But the reality of it is, again, and I know you've got some thoughts on this, and I'm going to let you expand on them here in just a second. But, you know, certain things and you know, the two biggest things that we talk about, and I hear more about the first one, and that's pitch count. Obviously, people are very cautious of what's going on. I don't know these answers for sure. I don't know that anybody can sit there and tell me for sure. But the reality of it is, I think when it's kids, I think you do enough, of course. I mean, if you're doing this and you're doing it all the time, you're doing plenty. You don't need to look at it like, well, I'm not babying them. So pitch count is an issue. And again, and I don't know how big that of an issue that is, as far as like, as long as you stay within the realm of where you should be. But you hear pitch count all the time. The thing I don't hear enough about is I hear about all these problems, but nobody addresses the fact that I see children throw four innings one day and four innings the next, three innings, whatever, all because that's a tournament rule and it says it's okay. All the while, I've been watching baseball since I was a kid, and you never see a professional athlete do that, a college athlete, or even a high school athlete do that. So why in the world are we thinking that this is okay? And I'd love to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, if people that know me, I say, like, if you want to see something that gets me fired up, this is the thing that gets me probably more fired up than anything. And you're completely right. You know, honestly, I don't know if anybody has an exact answer as to how many pitches or how many days is in between. You know, they've done some research to kind of try to see what that is, but I don't know if there's an exact answer. But realistically, you know, I don't know when it turned into, you know, kids throwing more than they need to, especially now that you're finding out that a lot of these kids are starting to specialize in one sport and they're throwing for two different teams. So they throw for one team on a Thursday and then they throw for their other team on a Friday, and that Friday coach doesn't know that he threw on Thursday, and then he throws them Friday and he throws them Saturday too, you know, and then you wonder why these kids are getting hurt and why everybody's got, you know, what they call little league elbow or little league shoulder. Well, you're asking a young kid whose body is not even close to being physically developed to try to handle the workload that we don't even put on a fully grown professional athlete that gets paid millions of dollars to train in the offseason to physically be able to handle what they do. And some of those guys can't even handle the workload or the stress level that they have to, as well as throwers. So, you know, knowing that we don't have all the information, I don't understand how in 2016 we're still in this situation where we've got coaches that are throwing kids, you know, repetitive days just to win a tournament. You know, at that point, you know, it's almost more for the coach's ego, I think, sometimes than it is for, you know, what the kids really want. Because I don't know any kid out there, at least that I'm aware of, that's going to say, hey, coach, no, I can't throw. You know, and I think, you know, partially this is where I always say that sometimes you're not going to be able to get the coach to do, you know, what they want them to do. But realistically, if I'm a parent, I'm stepping in. I mean, if you're going to throw my kid, you know, Friday in a tournament, you know, you better believe that I'm going to walk up and say, hey, listen, you know, he's done for this tournament throwing wise. Like, that's just the way it is. And I think, you know, sometimes it's a tough situation for a parent to be in. And, you know, that might even mean that your kid's finding a new team next year. Well, what are you more worried about? Are you more worried about your kid's safety? Or are you more worried about him having a trophy and his ego not being bruised because they took third place instead of first place? You know, so I think to hear that that's still happening is to me kind of crazy. You know, I had a parent call me the other day with a very high level arm, and his concern to me was, hey, you know, we're winding down the season. We've got a couple games left and a couple of them are conference games. You know, his kid's a freshman on the varsity team, and he's like, hey, he threw, you know, 84 pitches on Wednesday, and they want to bring him back to throw maybe like three innings on Friday as a relief. And I'm like, no. I'm like, that's completely absurd that you would do something like that. And that, I gave him the exact same example. I said, we don't ask guys in the big leagues to do that. They're not throwing 80-some pitches, then turning around, having one day off, and then getting back on the bump and trying to chuck the ball again. You know, the big leaguers, you know, the big league organizations protect those guys by giving them, you know, 4 days to 5 days if they have an off day in between before they put out their investments again. So they don't want their investment to break down. You know, so why are parents and coaches at the youth level not doing the same thing? Why are we not protecting our kids? You know, it's borderline almost abuse when you keep throwing a kid out there who's not going to say no, because the kid doesn't want to look like, you know, he's weak in front of his teammates, or that he can't handle it, or that he's letting somebody down by not throwing. So of course he's going to go out and throw. And then he's going to go out there and he's going to wince and he's going to sit at home and he's going to complain how much his arm hurts. And then he's going to go back out the next weekend and the same thing's probably going to happen again. And it's completely absurd that in this day and age and the information now that we have out there that, you know, stuff like this is still happening.
Well, let me give you a scenario. And because you are going to speak about it much more eloquently, obviously you're extremely passionate and knowledgeable and you have, you know, your opinion is obviously very well respected. So I'm going to give you the conversation that I had with a guy about this. And it wasn't heated or anything. He and I just were there. And I mentioned something to him and he kind of said, what are you talking about? And I mentioned it to him. And this is with the analogy I used. I said, here, in my opinion, and this is just an opinion, I think Aroldis Chapman is about the most unhittable guy in baseball. And you can agree or disagree with that. But the reality of it is, when he goes out there, he's almost unhittable. I mean, it's scary, right? So I said, if he's that good and the Yankees' number one job is to win games, why don't they just throw him the two innings every night and then give him a day off every now and again? If it's okay to do it, why don't they do that? Wouldn't that make sense? And he goes, well, you can't compare Aroldis Chapman to a 10-year-old kid. And I said, you're right, I can't. Aroldis Chapman is a world-class athlete, fully developed, 100% physically able to handle this body that can throw 100 miles an hour, and a 10-year-old isn't even remotely developed. And he said, yeah, but the 10-year-old isn't exerting the energy Aroldis Chapman is. And my thing was, so you're telling me that when that kid gets on the mound, he's not trying to throw the baseball? Is he up there not moving his feet, not doing anything, and just lobbing it in there? No, he's not. He's going through the motion of throwing a baseball downhill on a stress throw. So, you know, the guy's basic answer to me was, these kids aren't throwing it like these major league guys. All they're doing is trying to throw strikes. They're not throwing break balls. They're not doing this. All they're doing is playing catch with the catcher. That was his answer to me as to why he thinks it's okay. I want to know how you would handle that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, my first thing is I guess I always go to logic first. So when people try to out-logic me, I think that's the first thing I go to, because I'm not somebody that generally likes to go out and find conflict either. I'd rather talk through it with somebody. But they're absolutely related. You know, like you said, you know, let's think about the scenario again. Aroldis Chapman is not pitching against little leaguers. Aroldis Chapman's pitching against grown men who are paid to hit the ball 450 feet. little kids are not pitching against big leaguers. They're pitching against kids of equal caliber at their level. So it is absolutely related. It's man versus man. It's kid versus. I don't know very many kids that go on the mound and say, you know what, I'm just going to lob it over the plate and watch these balls just get whacked all over the park. So you are completely right. Those kids are going out and they are trying to win. They're trying to dominate because there is this drive, you know, whether it's instilled from parents or whether it's partially what kids develop because it is the competitive nature of life. But they're not going to go out there and just go, well, I'm just going to lob it up there. They're going out there and they're attacking. You know, and I think you hit a, I think you hit another point that a lot of people don't necessarily even think about at the youth level, especially. The reason why Aroldis Chapman doesn't throw two innings is because they pay somebody else to throw the eighth inning. They pay another guy to throw the seventh inning. They pay another guy to possibly throw the sixth if the starter doesn't get through more than five. So realistically, what's part of the answer then? Part of the answer is get more kids on the mound throwing so every kid is throwing less. And again, that doesn't mean that, you know, partially responsibility then comes down to us again as coaches, as instructors, to better equip more of our kids to be able to throw more athletically or efficient at a younger age. That doesn't mean I need every kid out there throwing the same speed. Every kid's going to go out there and give what they can athletically at that time. But I think that's part of the job. You know, one thing we don't do very well is we don't teach throwing because it's not the cool part of the game as a young kid. You know, as a young kid, it's, hey, let's go and take BP. So the majority of practice time is spent hitting balls and fielding baseballs. It's not spent throwing. You know, throwing a young kid is literally show up at the ballpark, stretch for, you know, 5 minutes or whatever it is for the youth level at this point, and then it's grab a ball and go play catch. And at no point, hey, let's actually talk about what you need to do to be a better thrower, not even a pitcher, just a better thrower. That stuff doesn't happen. And then they get in the field and they start taking ground balls, and the coaches are like, well, why aren't you throwing the ball to the first baseman? Well, because nobody ever spends time on actually throwing better. So that kid that now can't throw well from third base to first base or from the outfield back to the infield, what's the odds that coach is going to say, let's throw that kid on the mound? Probably not going to happen because they're going to assume the kid can't do it there either. But nobody's training these to do it. And there's where it's different in the big leagues is guys get paid to have certain roles. They're paid to go one inning. This guy's paid for one inning. This guy's paid for one inning. This guy's paid for one inning. And then they've got some guys that are mid-relief, you know, the guys that might eat up 2 to 3 innings if the starter struggles. And the starter's paid essentially to go 5 innings, you know, and hopefully maybe go, you know, 7, ideally, I would say. But, you know, but again, who's to say that that's the right number? Who's to say it shouldn't be 5-1-1-1-1 in the big leagues too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and again, the question always is, and I hate to say this, and you know, I got jumped on Facebook not too long ago for saying when this topic came up, I said something about you know, winning. I guess somebody took it as I said, you know, winning's not important, and because I said so, everybody pitches on your team, and so you lose. And the reason I said that is because that's always a question I get. Well, Jim, it must be nice to have 11 kids that can pitch on your team. We don't. So we can't compete. And I said, well, wait a minute. That's a loose term. You have X amount of kids that can pitch, but if you're going to play in these high-level tournaments, let's face it, you don't have 11 dominant pitchers. Now, some teams do, and that's how they build them, and that's great. I don't even have a problem with that. That's not my point. My point is, if you're going to have a team, you should approach it as almost all your kids are going to pitch at some juncture, and you're going to live with what happens. That's what I think is okay. I think that if one of the kids on my team is my sixth or seventh pitcher, and I tell him on Saturday, go out and give me the best you got, and we lose, of course I didn't want to lose, but if we lose because he, you know, we face a better pitcher or we just don't play well or whatever, then we'll deal with it. Most of these tournaments don't even start till bracket play, right? So why do people, I mean, well, we want a good seed. We want to, okay, whatever, that's fine. But again, now we're back to what's really important, right? And I'm not anti-losing, and that was what I had to explain to these people. Ask anybody that knows me. I'm competitive. I'm very competitive. Want to win. Love to win. The kids want to win, right? But not at the expense of a kid's arm. Plus, aren't we trying to help all these kids get a little better, right? So I don't know what the answer is. Stop short of convincing every tournament director to say, okay, here's the new rules. If you throw 2 innings one day, you can't pitch the next day. And if you throw 3 innings, you need 3 days rest. If you throw 4, you need 4. I mean, that's the model we use, and I don't know whether it's right or wrong. But if you throw 1 inning, you can pitch the next day. But if you throw 2 innings, you need 2 days rest. You throw 3 innings, you need 3 days. You throw 4, you need throw. And if you throw 5 or more, you need 5 days rest. That's the model we use. I don't know if it's right, but it's what we decided to do years ago. And it's helped us tremendously. And I'm not saying everybody has to do it, but I'd love to hear your thought on that.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I don't know if there's, again, I don't know if there's a perfect answer yet. I think there's too many undefined things that will make it hard to have a definitive, you know, every kid, especially at the youth level, has a different level of athleticism. Some of those kids are stronger. Some of those kids are weaker. Some are more flexible, some less flexible. Some of them have been probably moving in a better movement pattern for a longer time than some of the other kids. So obviously there's some kids that are going to be able to handle a little bit more than another kid, but now who's going to walk around and justify which kid is actually able to do that? You know, and I think from that standpoint, you know, I know what we do is similar to what you were talking about with your teams. You know, with our older teams, it's, I should say all of our teams, listen, pitcher A is going to go 3 innings, the next guy is going to go 2, the next guy is going to go 2. So, you know, we go right through social media and we literally put out this guy's pitching this inning through this inning, this guy's pitching this inning to this inning, this guy's pitching this inning to this inning. You know, we do that obviously to help out, you know, these kids and their exposure for the schools and everybody else to be able to come watch them throw. But we also do it for the kids where you're saying, listen, man, like you've got 3 innings. If you've got a no-hitter, guess what? You're still coming out because you're 3 innings today. The next guy's 2 innings. So you're going out and you're going to only get 2 innings. So that way that guy also has time to get himself ready. Because that's the other tough thing at a young age is a lot of times these kids are sitting over in the outfield just kind of like, you know, chilling because there's not a lot of balls coming out there. And all of a sudden the coach goes, hey, by the way, now you're on the mound. Hurry up, run in here and throw 5 pitches. And I expect you to now be able to get everybody out and throw hard and do all the stuff you're going to do. You know, when you start saying, listen, we're going to plan this out ahead of time. We know we've got 3 pool play games. We've already got our entire pitching roster planned out for those 3 games, and that's going to be the way it is. This guy's going 3, this guy's going 2, this guy's going 2, or it's going to be 2-2-2-1, or whatever coaches decide that they're going to do as they kind of plan out their system. But you're saying, listen, this is what's going to be. So now that kid that's going to throw the second 2 innings of the game after the first guy comes out, that guy can start getting ready a little bit sooner. So he has enough time to do his arm care stuff, to do his J-bands, to make sure that he's ready to go where you're not just tossing him out there and saying, hey, good luck, man. You know, I hope you're ready to go. So I think, I don't know if there's ever going to be a perfect answer, but I think, especially at the youth level, you have to err on the side of kids are more important than the game. And it's great that the kids go out and win some games because that's what brings the joy to them and wants them to continue to go on and keep doing that, you know. But it's also, you know, one of those things that it's like a double trap because sometimes the win, your coach ends up doing questionable things and putting kids in situations they shouldn't be in. So I'm under the same boat. I honestly, to me, it doesn't matter. You know, winning comes to teams that prepare and do things the right way over the course of time. So for my kid to win a game when he's 9 years old doesn't matter to me. You know, my kid winning a game when he's in high school matters a little bit more because by then he's physically where he should be and everybody in his group, if they were trained correctly, are going to be able to do what they're supposed to do to win. And that doesn't mean I'm going to throw pitchers more because they're older. That just means that we've trained these guys to all be more efficient in their movements, to be more athletic in their movements. Mm-hmm. So we're going to win more games at that point because we're going to out-athletic people. We're going to out, you know, talent people. We're going to outsmart people because we're better at learning the game. And I think that's the biggest part of it is that, you know, being able to get more kids to be able to throw correctly again allows coaches to put more kids on the mound. And again, even if I put in little Jimmy who is the least efficient thrower I have, let the kid have fun because you never know whether that kid's going to be needed somewhere down the line in the next year or 2 years to help out your team again and be on the mound. So, you know, give a kid a chance like that to throw and figure some things out. And if that means that we lose this game, then we lose this game. So guess what? Jimmy has a great, you know, experience now in baseball, and now he's more driven to continue to be an athlete and to be better and to keep playing the sport as well, as opposed to just the one or two kids that we deem the studs on the team that we just keep just putting back out on the mound, and then we wonder why we have no other pitchers that throw well or no other throwers on the team that can throw well because we keep trying to throw these same two guys that we classify as studs.
Well, you better be careful because I got called everything. I got called a communist, and I was what's wrong with the United States that I took winning out of the equation, and that's what's ruining our country. So you better be careful there, Travis, or you're going to get great stuff, though. I mean, and I do appreciate you wanting to talk about the rant, as I think, you know, obviously somebody with your qualifications comes on and says, hey, listen, there's a lot to this. I think it, you know, gives a little bit of levity to the situation and helps people understand what's going on. Well, that was part one of my interview with my good friend Travis Kerber, and I can't wait for you guys to hear the second part of it. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, hear from a couple of our sponsors. When we get back, I'm so excited about our first installment of the new Domingo's Theory of Baseball that we'll be running every week, you know, brought to you by the Pitch Hitter. I can't wait to tell you a little bit about the Pitch Hitter, too, as I think it's just an unbelievable device, training aid for kids. It's something that I wish we would have had when we were younger, and I'm looking forward to having Dwayne and Jill Meltzer on. They, you know, they invented the pitch hitter. It's a great idea. They took something that I think a lot of people needed, and they turned it into a great product that makes it really easy for everybody to use. So can't wait to tell you more about it. But I do want to send a special shout out to them, because it's you know, it was their idea to help us do this thing with Domingo, and Domingo loves to help all those kids out there understand what it takes to not be semi-pro and be big time. So when we come right back, we're going to hear from our newest member of the Youth Baseball Talk team, Domingo, thanks to the Pitch Hitter. And of course, we're going to hear from Justin Rick, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Ripken Way. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide, simply go to gatewaydreamfields.com. That's gatewaydreamfields.com, or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you.
Welcome back. Really appreciate our sponsors and all their help in supporting the show so that we can bring you the quality content that we hope you'd listen to and enjoy every week. And of course, just want to remind everybody that you know, Twitter is the best way to stay in touch with us, at Podcast Baseball. Love to hear from you guys. And of course, subscribing through iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet is the best way to stay on top of the show and not miss an episode, as I know a lot of people do already subscribe, and I really hope that you enjoy it and subscribe yourself. So I mentioned to you right before I had went to break there that I was very excited, as when we come back, we were going to have our first installment of the Domingo Theory of Baseball. And as I, you know, as I become more familiar with Domingo and his awesome work, I'm finding it a great conversation between myself, my sons, and my young players that I help coach. Everybody loves Domingo. They love the lightheartedness that he brings to the game of baseball, and how he allows everybody to understand the game through fun, through knowing what you know this fine gentleman understands through his trials and tribulations of trying to make it into the big time of MLB. But I have no doubt it won't be long before we'll be seeing Domingo on ESPN doing his thing. But I couldn't go any further though without thanking Dwayne and Joe Meltzer, as they have they've invented an unbelievable device for kids. And I met them. They contacted me and asked me if there was a way for them to get involved with our show, because they felt like they had a great product. And with our show being targeted both to kids, parents, and coaches, and people that are involved in training kids, they had a great idea. So they sent me this this information. I looked at it. And the first thing I thought when I saw it was, it took me back to when our kids were 8 or 9 or 10 years old and used to sit at games, and you were like, man, I wish there was a way I could help this kid feel more comfortable out there on the mound. Because some kids, at the end of the day, you know, they throw a lot of strikes in practice in a bullpen, and then they get in a game, and you know they struggle a little bit with throwing strikes sometimes because there's a batter in there, and no kid wants to hit another kid. You know, I mean, you don't want to get hit, but yet you also don't want to be the kid that hits somebody. So what they've come up with is, and I know you guys have seen some variations before, but what I love about theirs is they come up with this portable device that turns into a batter. And basically, you can carry it. It's lightweight, but yet quality. Okay, you carry this thing to and from your practice. It sets up in no time, and you can basically have a batter on either side of the plate. It also has an actual strike zone that comes out that you can try to throw the ball through. It's a fantastic idea. And then when you get done and you got the strikes all figured out, it turns into a batting tee. And everybody needs batting tees. We don't hit enough off a tee anyway. You know, some people say you hit too much. I say I don't see it enough. So for me, I think it's an absolute fantastic device. I wish I'd have had one when my kids were younger. You know, it would have been a great way, you know, just even for at home, for my own son, just to play catch with him and let him get comfortable throwing a baseball with what appears to be a batter in the box, and just find a way to feel that rhythm and be able to repeat his delivery with confidence. And that's a big part of the game of baseball, obviously. We talk about it all the time on the show, the confidence factor. We talk a lot about failure and how do you recover and things like that. Well, again, don't discount the mental part of the game of baseball and kind of how it plays into the do's and don'ts, because again, like I said at the beginning, no kid goes out there wanting to hit another kid, just like no kid wants to get hit by a baseball. And then you fall into the whole trap of, I mean, how many times have you heard mom and dad or coach yelling, just throw strikes? Do you think they're not trying to throw strikes? So once again, how do we get better at it? Well, we have to practice it. And this device, the pitch hitter, is exactly what everybody needs. Now, I'm gonna have them on a show and let them tell you a little bit about the idea, where it came from, where it's going, things like that, all the new stuff that's happening. But they have signed on to bring you Domingo on a weekly basis, and I couldn't thank them enough for that. As you know, we really wanted to do that, and they stepped up and said, you know what, this is a great way for us to get our name affiliated with a great guy in our show, and I couldn't thank them enough. But definitely check them out, thepitchhitter.com. And here's a great thing: if you order it now, you use the promo code PH10 and you receive 10% off. So don't forget, if you order the Pitch Hitter, thepitchhitter.com is their website. Order it. There'll be an area for a promo code, PH10. Save 10% now. Get it. I'm telling you, you will be glad you did. It's multi-purpose, easy to use, high-quality product. You're going to be very excited when you get it in, because I think you're going to start seeing results right away with your kids throwing strikes. So special thanks to Dwayne and Jill. And without any more hesitation, as again, brought to you by the Pitch Hitter, looking forward to bringing him in here every week, is the man himself, Domingo. Domingo, take it away.
Gracias, Jim, and thank you to the Pitch Hitter. Let me tell you something. If you're a young player and you want to get better, you got to get the Pitch Hitter. It's no semi-pro. Now, today, I want to talk a little bit more about the showcase player. You know what this is? This is a guy who can perform at the showcase but can't perform anywhere else. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now, I'm a showcase player, but I'm also a regular season player. I'm talking about Yose showcase player. Now, I go to a showcase the other day, and I see this guy, the best athlete on the field. He run a 60 and about a 6'4", And he threw across the diamond about a 95 mile per hour. And he hit about 10 home runs. I say, this guy the best player I've ever seen, beside myself. And then I go to see him in the regular season, and he's not even in a lineup. He's the worst player on the field. He's about 1 for 27 in stolen base, no home run, and he can't even make a throw to first base. Jim, I don't know if you ever seen one of these guys, but it's the worst thing ever. You just play game with your mind. You don't even know what you're watching. So I go up to the guy at the end of the game, and I say, hey, why you are so good in the showcase, but you're not good in the regular season? And you know what he tell me, Jim? He say, oh, it's because there's no scout during the season. And I say, hey, there's no scout during the season because you're no good. If you're a showcase player, you need to somehow figure out how to pretend the regular season a showcase, because you're just confusing me a lot, and I not appreciate that. Oh, and by the way, when you're taking a ground ball at a showcase, just because it's a radar gun behind the first base, no mean you have to take 45 steps to make a throw. 90 miles per hour not a big deal when it takes you 2 minutes to let go of the ball. Just feel irregular. Unless that is your regular. And if that's the case, don't even waste your time at a showcase. You not had a chance. That's all I got for today, Jim. And don't forget, if you want to be a big time player, get that pitch hitter.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I do. And the more I've gotten to know Domingo and the great attitude he brings to the game, I think I'm looking forward to his, hearing his stuff even more each and every week. So special thanks to Domingo, as I want to definitely be big time. I definitely don't want to be semi-pro. But once again, special thanks to our friends at thepitchhitter.com. It's a great tool, great device. I think if you check it out, you'll find that there's great uses for this, and especially for all of our young players out there, it'll be a great, great asset to your teams or to just your own personal work at home. So once again, pitchhitter.com. Don't forget the discount code PH10. Receive 10% off today of your order. So once again, can't wait to hear from Domingo again next week. Of course, this guy's been with us since the beginning, and he's really enhanced the content of this show. I'm a much smarter guy for listening to him on a weekly basis, and I hope you feel the same. Let's go to our good friend with his majestic Coach's Corner Tip of the Week, brought to you by Elitebaseball.tv, Justin Stone. Justin, take it away.
Thanks, Jim, and this is Justin Stone with Elitebaseball.tv coming to you from the majestic Coach's Corner. And a question I frequently get asked by youth baseball parents is when they're ready to make the jump from the small barrel bat to a big one. And oftentimes, players are having success and they're used to swinging the small barrel bat because that's what they've grown up and been accustomed to. And sometimes there's some fear of changing that and going on to a big barrel bat. And they ask me the question, are we ready? And here are some answers to tell if you are. One, we know the big barrel bat is going to have more pop. So players, as soon as they can get ready to swing it and can handle the balance difference of the bat, we want them to do so. But here are some ways that the big barrel bat can sometimes adversely affect you from the mechanical standpoint. If a player has good sequencing where the lower body begins to fire the swing and they really engage their legs well, they're going to feel very little difference from changing from the small barrel bat to the big one. The reason being, the bat is going to stay tighter to the body during the rotational process, so you're not going to feel the heaviness of the barrel or the balance difference getting away from your body. However, many youth players fire their swing from the top, and they reverse the sequence from the top down. When this happens, you're going to see two things. One, the upper body is going to be able to rotate early, oftentimes ahead of the legs. This is where we're getting a casting type swing, where the bat begins to go away from our body early, hooks around the baseball, then off our front side. The further the barrel gets away from the body, the more the player is going to feel the heaviness and balance difference in that big barrel bat. So there are times when players, because from the mechanical standpoint, they're not very efficient yet. Yes, they're swinging a big barrel bat. If it makes the ball bat collision, the ball's going to jump a little bit more, but they're seeing less success simply because the barrel isn't getting in and through the hitting zone very efficiently. So if we have players that feel that upper body rotating off the ball and we're casting and getting long, sometimes performance will go down with a big barrel bat. So some ways you can check this on your own. If you're simply using your smartphone, take some slow-mo video and see, is the player getting grounded in their lower half? If I get into the ground, I have deep knee bend, my feet are outside the framework of my shoulders, I can get a lot of leverage from the ground that will start our rotational process, and you have a better chance of keeping the bat tighter to your body, definitely ready for the big barrel bat, and you're gonna see very little bat speed change using that bat because, again, it's staying tighter to the body, so we don't feel the heaviness of the bat quite as much. But if you do that same video and you see the rear elbow beginning to drop into the slot, the rear elbow dropping before the foot lands, here you're gonna see length in the swing, the front shoulder rotating at the same time, or maybe a little bit before the hips, now we're gonna feel the heaviness and weight of that big barrel bat, and it can adversely affect the hitter. So a couple ways to check. Are you ready for the jump from the small barrel to the big barrel? A question we often get, and now you can answer it on your own. From this week's Majestic Coach's Corner, I'm Justin Stone from Elitebaseball.tv. Come see us. We have a couple new features of a drill filter, a members forum where you can shoot us video and we can help you diagnose. Are we ready for questions like this and answering them for you or helping you find the answers yourself? 100 hours of video on there at Elitebaseball.tv. Come check us out.
Good stuff as always from my main man, Justin Stone, and love hearing what he has to say every week. And the opportunities to always learn from him, so hope you enjoy it. Now we're going to take it to another good friend of mine, Rick Strickland with the St. Louis Pirates and his Sandlot recruitment tip of the week. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim, thank you for having me back on the show again this week. I'm going to talk a little bit today about some of the things I've been on my soapbox with the last couple of days. You get a lot of popular things coming out. You got Jeff Passan with his book about the arm, and as I kind of think about where youth travel baseball is right now and how it related to how we played baseball years ago, I see an interesting part, dynamic that's playing along with that. Just basically how kids are forced to play baseball games right now. We have a young man that comes over to our academy. He's 13 years old. He pitches for a team here locally, and from my understanding, the team doesn't have a whole lot of pitching on the staff. So this guy's used pretty good, and I'll get into some of the other details a little bit later about what I see this potentially being a problem. If this kid has any chance of developing into a baseball player, even if he wants to or don't want to. But we just see how the way that the games are set up is really potentially being detrimental to the long-term health of these aspiring baseball players. We talked to a young man. He came over one day, and we found out that he had thrown on a Saturday. And we asked him how many innings he threw, and he came back, and he said that he threw two innings, and he came back on Sunday, and he threw again. And our pitching guy, Zach, was really up in arms about what possibly could he be doing in the pitching class to help this kid, because he felt like the kid probably needed a lot more than anything to be resting at that point. So Zach's perspective is they did what they call recovery, and they did a lot of recovery exercises. So they didn't do a whole lot of work on pitching, but basically trying to get his body to respond back before. And the next week, the kid came back in again, found out he threw 3.5 innings on the Saturday, and turned back around and threw two again on Sunday. And that's really taxing. If you go out to Dr. Glenn Fleissig on the internet, he talks about in one of his books and research papers, he says that, you know, the real big issue you have when in injuries, one of the big issues you have with throwing injuries is throwing when you're fatigued and tired. And I think people take these youth kids for granted that they can throw every day. And we have various issues that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the maturity of the body. We're teaching with fatigue. Many times these kids that throw a lot are probably the best players on a particular team, and you're asking them to throw consecutive days, but you're also asking them to go out and play a position, shortstop, second base, right field, and they throw a lot of balls between innings and stuff like that. So you know the chances of these guys hurting themselves and stunting their development and growth on the baseball side is extremely high. The risk is high because of the way the kids are playing baseball. The other big thing I have that's really a true component, it's kind of way the economics of baseball goes now. Well, back in the day, we play league games throughout the week, and maybe even on the weekend, and maybe you had about 20-some-odd games you played during the course of the year, where everybody right now thinks you have to play a ton of baseball games in order to get better. And what we see is these games are being played on starting on Friday, but most cases starting on Saturday and Sunday. And I see these guys, especially these really top-end teams, playing 4, 5, 6, 7 games over the course of a 48 and mostly a 28 to 36-hour time frame. None of that stuff can be productive for the development, long-term development of an aspiring baseball player. So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. We can talk more in detail later about that. But this is just my opinion, my view. I don't think it's healthy or it's kind of counterproductive for developing youth baseball player. Again, I'm Rick Strickland. You can find us on SandlotElite.com. Kind of in the coming days, we'll be putting out on our site the community where people can talk and we can share ideas, tips and drills, and research that we have going on the baseball side. Thanks, Jim. Look forward to talking to you soon.
As always, good to hear from my man, Rick. I'm so blessed to have this staff that we currently have on board here at Youth Baseball Talk. Love to hear from Rick and Justin each week, obviously, and then catching the lighter side from Domingo. And as always, the show is all about bringing you great content. And this week's guest, for sure, Travis Kerber, is one of the guys that people seek out all across the country when it comes to pitching. There's some great guys out there, and Travis is one of them. And I love the fact, as always, that Travis, along with some of these other guys that are so in tune with what's going on, they communicate. And at the end of the day, I think that's one of the most important things. So special thanks to Travis. Had the opportunity to get him. It's kind of hard. The guy's busy. He's doing a lot of training. And then obviously the Elite Baseball program, they're starting their summer season. So these guys are going to be all over the place with some of their teams. And obviously they play in the top tournaments. So we took the opportunity and we needed to break it into two shows. So next week, you'll hear part two of my interview with Travis, and has some really interesting things to say about his opinions and where he sees it going. So I'm looking forward to bringing you that. Something new that we started, and I've been tweeting out a little bit. I'm real interested to do it. I did a Monday morning rant, so to speak, and I don't know that I like that term rant. I'm kind of kicking myself over the rant. I don't want it to be a rant. What I want it to be is a solution. My good friend Coop here said, hey, how about Monday morning solutions? I love it. I love the thought process of you, me, everybody coming up with solutions rather than just complaining about problems all the time. So what I'm asking is for all my listeners out there to come up with things that they see that bug them, and let's have a conversation about them. And if I feel like it's something that we can all benefit from, I'd like you to come on the show. Just 5-10 minute conversation with me, and let's talk about some of the things that are going on out there, but let's more importantly find a way to fix them. Let's come up with some ideas. I know we're not going to solve anything that day, but you never know when we might come up with something, okay, that just might make a difference. So Monday Morning Solutions with your host, Jim Cromer, here, brought to you by Youth Baseball Talk, will be happening starting next week. And that is going to be brought to you by Ripken Baseball. And I'm real happy that what we've decided to do is take the Ripken way and apply it to that show. As at the end of the day, I think that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we're going to try to accomplish, is find a better way to do things that are hurting the game. It's a great game. I see great things happening every weekend. I'm no different than everybody else. Sometimes I see something and it bothers me so much that we start to focus on the negative stuff that's happening. But at the end of the day, we got to start focusing on the positives. And when we do see something out there that we think there's an issue with, let's address it. Let's quit acting like everybody else is stupid and we're smart. Let's quit acting like we're always right and everybody else is wrong. Forget that. The world's got enough problem makers. We need problem solvers. I want to be one. Do you want to be one? Be one with me. So again, as always, Jim at Youth Baseball Talk, let me know your problems with what's going on out there and what your solutions are, and I'll be happy to have you on my show to get your take, and we'll put it out there to the public and get some thoughts on it. And if maybe we can start a groundswell of support. I'm a big believer in this not pitching kids on back-to-back days, and I'm telling you, from some of the tweets I've got, from some of the emails I got, there's a lot of you out there that feel that way. If that's the case, let's get a bunch of people together and let's send some emails where they need to go. Let's show people that we want change, that we want things to go the right way. And we might even be wrong. And if somebody comes on here and tells me, hey, listen, you're wrong, and here's why, and here's the explanation, and it's factual, and it's good, and it makes sense, I'm happy to listen. That, at the end of the day, is the only way we get anywhere. So real happy to bring you Monday Morning Solutions starting next week. And actually, this week will be Memorial Day. You'll get it on Tuesday. But nonetheless, real happy about the show. And I've already got my first guest lined up. Great guy, great youth coach, does it the right way. He's got some thoughts, and I can't wait to have him on. But until Monday, This is Youth Baseball Talk. Special thanks to my producer, Brian. He does a great job putting everything together. And, of course, our intern, Stone, is learning from Brian and going to be doing some of his own shows. Let me tell you, the youth of tomorrow isn't so bad. We got some interns in here, and these kids are doing a great job and working hard, and they're passionate. And it restores your faith in humanity sometimes. But once again, from all of us here at the Lineup Media Group, I'll see you next week.
Youth Baseball Talk, powered by Baseball U, the nation's youth baseball network. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you listen to the show. You can find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at @podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of the LMG Network's podcasts at lineupmediagroup.com.